Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I thought I was all ready to go. But anyway, good morning to you. We're glad you joined us this morning and asking the Lord's blessing to be upon our time together in another broadcast. You tuned me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tuned me in, by the way, of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and we're now being heard at the same time at 100.3 in the Lowell Ada area FM. And so I'm just so glad that you've joined us this morning and looking forward to God's blessing. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. I welcome you. Those that are now listening by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com, and you bring your mouse over to Messages from the Lighthouse, and you'll see Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it takes you right to my storage place where the message for this week is right there waiting to be listened to. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just so glad to be a part of the time that we're going to have together this morning. I'm over at the Lighthouse. It's about 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. A beautiful sunrise. The lake is nice and calm. There's been two or three fishermen that have gone out, and so they're enjoying some time. Talked to a gentleman last night, and he said he got his limit. So we know they're just not out there drowning some worms, so to speak, but they're getting some fish as well. Well, as we think about our message for this morning, I'm talking again about the church that Jesus said he wants to build. I'm thinking more of the fact that you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, become a part of his universal church. That's wherever it might be that there's somebody who trusts in the Lord Jesus makes up that church. And I believe what Jesus' teachings that I'm going to be delivering these next couple more weeks yet is the things that Jesus wants to see the local church be able to do. And sometimes it's able to, and sometimes it just seems like it doesn't want to try to do that. So we're just going to see what Jesus is saying this morning about the local church and about you and I as we make up the body of the universal church. And this is one of the things for the message topic this morning is Jesus is the church Jesus is talking about. He wants it to be a learning center. He wants us to gain the spiritual truths that we need for our job. And then he wants us to have some job training as a believer so we can know how to reach out and to touch the lives of other people. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But before I do, I need to say thank you to the sponsors that take care of the broadcast this morning. And so a big thank you goes out to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. She's from Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan. Thank you for your support. To Bill and Judy Hammond family from the building area. To Gain London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from the Greenville area. And to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. Also, big thank you for K.N. Kingsinger picking out our music. We got that working the way it's supposed to again, so I appreciate that. And then also a invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at the Shiloh campus, which is in Orleans, Michigan. At the Shiloh campus, the weekend begins Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And at the Greenville campus, at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation if you'd like to join us. And I'm glad you joined us this morning. So let's get started by listening to a song. And this song is going to teach us the idea that what God wants us to do in our relationship with him and what Jesus' invitation is, that you and I would come to him and we'd come and we'd learn of him. So what we're going to be thinking about is Jesus is the teacher. So we'll listen in. I'll be right back in just a few moments. We'll share the message for this morning. Here we go.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Come ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me,
unto me.
Come unto me,
and
I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. New unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. In the Holy Spirit He will give you rest. Come unto me,
and
I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
Hear me and be blessed.
I am meek and lowly.
Beautiful invitation He's given to us, folks, that we keep coming to Him, realizing that that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him, that we realize that when we come, it isn't just a once-for-all thing, but whatever you're going through this morning, He's inviting you this day for this circumstance that you're faced with this day. He's inviting you to come to Him and lay your burdens down before Him. And I love the idea He says the yoke up. We don't think of the word yoke as much today, but that was yoking together a couple of animals to do a job that needed to be done. And you know, they learned which animals would work good together. And we need to know that that's what He's asking us to do. We can work good together with this one, the Lord Jesus. Well, once again this morning, I want to remember the listening audience, so let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, when we think about coming to Jesus with whatever it is that's heavy laden and burdened us down, we realize that as we go from week to week, different things come upon our lives, different difficulties that we're going through, and that we need a sense of your presence. We need a sense of your caring. And I thank you that you've told us, Father, that we can unload upon all of you all of our care, all of our anxiety. We can load it upon you. So I want to pray for the listening audience this morning. I don't know what they've been going through this past week. Each person has got me tuned in. There have been some difficult times, some good times, some blessings, some discouragements. Sometimes when they understood, sometimes when they didn't understand what in the world's going on. I just ask, our Father, that we would trust in you, that we would come to you and we bring those burdens of our heart to you and ask you to meet us at the point of our need. And then, Father, with the promise that you will yoke up with whatever it is that's causing us this difficulty that we're faced with this morning. So I just pray this morning you'd come and honor your word as we realize you're the teacher and we're the student. We're the one that needs to learn. You're the one that knows what the job needs to be done like, and we're in the training process. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would speak to our hearts, and I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with that thought in mind of having difficulty in your life and my life, I think we need to know that this church that Jesus is wanting to build, he's going to give us a little better way of learning, of living, by teaching us another way. If we're willing to be a student to learn of a different way of doing things. Jesus one day said to Satan, he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but all the spiritual learning comes from Jesus and God's word." And that's what he's reminding us. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And I've come to believe that all of my spiritual training comes from the Lord Jesus and from the word of God. And so when we understand that's where we're to begin with this morning, the idea that he's our teacher and we are his students. We place our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. God shares through us, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of will of flesh, but of the will of God. We've become a child of God because of God's will. And he tells us that in John 1, verses 12 and 13. And as the child of God, we become a part of this universal church. And so God is teaching us this morning what he wants every Christian to do, whether he's a part of a local church or not. If you're a part, you say you're a believer in Christ, then we need to come to listen to this twofold thing that he's teaching us that was talked about in that song. Listen to the twofold things that he gives to the child of God. One is to learn from our teacher, Jesus. And the second is to yoke up with this teacher, Jesus, as the one that we're side by side with, learning how to do the job that God wants us to do. "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. He's not telling us, "I'm just going to give you an easy way of life," because it isn't going to be that way, because you're going to go against a lot of things that the old human nature wants to do. The invitation of Jesus is that he's called, gave to his disciples. He gives the same invitation to you and I. He was telling them, this is a learning process, folks. This idea of being a Christian is a learning process. It's becoming a part of a team that belongs to Jesus, and to realize that we're placed under new management, so to speak. And now those things are not easy for us to be faced with. Those kinds of things can cause us difficulty. But what Jesus is saying to you, that he says, "I'm giving you a promise. And the promise is, I'll give you rest." The other things that used to drain strength out of your life, he said, "I'm going to give you rest from that as you trust in me." I love the way he describes the teaching method. It is to learn from Jesus. You know what he says of himself as a teacher? "I'm very gentle and I'm very lowly in heart." And then he gives the promise the second time. "I will give you rest." My teachings, in other words, is going to help you to understand the gentleness of God and the lowliness in heart of this one that God of the universe in the person of Jesus in the flesh, is able to be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And he's able to help you because he in every way was tempted like you are. That's the promise God tells us. And we have to have that confidence in him. I believe when we team up with Jesus in this way, it will produce in us what Jesus wants to produce in his disciples. He said to Peter and to Andrew, then he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. You know what? He took something from their ordinary life that they loved to do, their way of learning, their way of earning income was fishing. And fishing was a learned thing. You had to learn how to do it, especially using with the nets. They had to learn how to place the nets. They had to learn how to take care of the nets. They had to learn how to dry the nets when they've been wet and learn that the nets are something that's going to be their income coming from. So they needed to take good care of that. So Jesus is saying, I want you to become a fisher of men. You know what? Jesus' invitation is the same today to you and I. He wants us to become more than we ever thought we'd become. He wants us to become better at what we're doing than we ever thought we'd be able to do. Because of our relationship with Jesus and his words' relationship with us, he's saying, I tell you what I want to happen. I want you to gain a promise that I gave to Abraham in days of old. And the promise that he gave to Abraham as he started out on his journey was, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. I love that statement. You got to get a hold of that for your life. I got to get a hold of that for my life. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing to someone else. God knows that it's not just enough for you to be on the receiving end of blessings, but he knows you need to be on the other end of the blessing whereby by your life and by the way you live, you're giving a blessing into somebody else's life. And that's the way this church of Jesus is going to work. It's going to be the idea that he is the one that is going to be the source of the teaching for your life and my life. And we're not going to just let the teachings that come from human nature. And we're not just going to let the teachings that come sometimes when we've been defeated. But we're going to realize that Jesus is saying, whatever you can do, I want you to become even better at it. Well, let's move on in this thought and consider how he's going to try to do that within your life and mine, in our fact that we belong to this universal church here on planet Earth with every other believer that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the way Jesus was one day with his disciples and they came to him and they asked him, would they teach them to be able to pray. It came to pass that as Jesus one day was praying in a certain place, he ceased, and one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And you know, I want us to understand that all of the things that's going to be a part of your spiritual life is the idea that you need to be taught. You need to know not only that there's a need for prayer, you need to know that there's a way that you and I can pray to God. And Jesus is going to not just give us an example of a prayer, but he's going to show us what we need to keep in mind when we're talking to this one God, when we're talking to his Heavenly Father. And it seems as though the disciples of John, the forerunner of Jesus, he had taught his disciples about praying with the information that he had, and that was good. And the disciples knew that it was beneficial for those people that was walking with John as their leader, preparing the way for this one that is now the leader, the Lord Jesus himself. So I'm glad for the one disciple, he's not named, he says, teach us to pray. And that's what we got to do with Jesus as we come to him, folks. The area that you need the teaching, you got to ask Jesus to teach you in that area. And the disciples are thinking, we need to know how to pray. So Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. That's recorded in different places in God's Word. That's recorded in all different translations of God's Word. I've always loved the idea of God telling them how they should be praying and how they should go about it. His teaching was, Our Father in heaven. Keeping in mind that when you're talking to God, you're talking to your Heavenly Father. And even if your father relationship on planet Earth was not good, we need to know that our Heavenly Father is much greater than any earthly father could ever possibly be. He describes his Heavenly Father as hallowed or holy is his name. Keep in your mind as you pray that you're talking about a very holy person in the person of God. And keep in mind, he goes on to say that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God the Father had been used to his will being done in heaven. And so he's saying, now that's what he wants to do, and that's what I want to try to teach you to do, and that's what I want you to pray about for your life, that your will would be done. So he's saying, when you're coming to God and you've got something that you want, just don't think of what you want. Think of God's will for your life. How will this help you? And then he mentioned, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, now you know what you need to do? You need to go to God and talk to him about your daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. The bread was a part of the culture of that day, the culture of our life. Give us the daily needs that we have. We have to eat. We have to eat every day. Somebody says, I have to eat at least 3 times a day. That's okay. He's talking about your physical needs. And then he turns it to your spiritual need. Forgive us our trespasses. We've messed up with you. Just as we forgive others who mess up with us is the idea. He wants us to be willing to receive forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. But at the same time, as we receive forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, he wants us to practice the same towards those that have misused us or hurt us in any way. And then all of a sudden, the prayer ends in this way. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. He said, you're going to be tempted, and the temptation is going to be to go away from God, not draw near to him. We need to know that's the teachings that God's Son wants to get into our hearts, that it's easy for you to go astray. But at the same time, he can deliver us from all the evil. And you know, folks, I was thinking the other day, if the world was evil when Jesus was here, and it was under the Roman government, and people were doing their own things, so to speak, can you imagine in 2,000 years? Because the Bible teaches that the mankind is going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get more difficulty. And at 84, when I think back of my childhood and how simple life was at that period of time and the amount of fears that there is today that I didn't have to deal with in that day, we realize our world has changed a lot. Our circumstances have changed a lot. That's why I've always loved when Jesus is trying to teach some truth that he wants to drive home. He often gives a story. And I love Jesus' story to explain what he is trying to get across. He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say to you, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say unto you, Jesus said, though he will not arise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence in asking, he will give and give him as many as he needs. That's recorded in Luke 11. You know, Jesus' story is telling me, Jesus' story is telling you that we can come to God and he will answer better than our best friend who maybe won't want to get out of bed to help us with what needs to be done. I love the way it was closed in that chapter of Luke 11 when it said, I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find, and knock and the door will be open. You know what God's saying, folks? I want you to have some persistence in your prayer. I just don't want you to say, God bless everybody, God bless this, and then leave it there at that. I want you to have some persistence, he said, in what you're talking to this God about. And we realize then that not only is the persistence going to pay off, but he's telling us the reason for that is, just like I said a few moments ago, this coming to Jesus is not a once-for-all thing. I believe it's true for your salvation. Once you've asked Jesus into your life, I believe you're forgiven, past, present, and future. But you know what he's saying to you? And what he's saying to me is, I want you to keep coming to me. And you know what them words mean when it says, ask and it shall be given to you? You know what it's really saying to you? And what it's really saying to me? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. He's asking us to do that out of the part of our life that needs to have that kind of encouragement and challenge. He says, you know what? You're knocking at the door of heaven. Knock and keep on knocking. Just like that man that came to that friend to get help. If he would have given up, he wouldn't have had the help. And God's not saying that God's making us kind of keep on coming to him for the idea of that make him feel good. God don't do that. God's telling you what pays off in your life. And besides that, you know what I've noticed about my life? If you're just going to ask once, that kind of says to me, I'm not too sure I really know what I'm asking for. The church of that Christ is going to create here on planet Earth by you and I believing in him is going to be a church that's going to pray. And they're going to pray and pray and pray. And we need to do that. Got a song I want us to listen to. We'll take just a little break. This song is saying, just ask. It's talking about prayer. But in the idea of talking about prayer, it's telling you that people in the past have come to this God and got some assistance in their life. And that's what he wants to be to you this morning. And that's what he wants to be to me. Just ask. And just keep on asking. Just seek. And keep on seeking.
Alone in
let's listen in.
The darkness, you're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be? My friend, I know the answer to your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers, who've been there and their stories have stood in the darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile. My mind filled with unanswered questions, hiding tears behind every smile. But then I drew strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were the first to believe. When their faith reached out to touch him, his arms reached back to help them, and he's able to do the same.
The answer, folks, just ask. What he's asking us to do in that song is to reflect upon the believers before us, that they went to this God, and now we got Jesus coming into our life, and we got this one Jesus saying, the way you're going to do it in this my church that I'm building is that you're going to seek my face. You're going to come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you some rest. You're going to yoke up with me. That brings me to the second thought of the message, and that is yoking up with Jesus to do some things. You know, when God is teaching us about the church that he wants us to understand he's building, he's saying it's like a training center. Every scripture passage has been inspired by God, the scripture tells us. And all this Bible teachings, all these words of the Bible, they're useful for teaching. They're useful for pointing out the error of our life. The Bible is useful for correcting people and for training them for life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. That's why God's saying you got to know what my Bible teaches. You're going to know what the Word of God teaches. It's going to help you in your life. And then, to be honest with you, it's going to become the method behind why you do what you do. It's because you've been taught by Jesus the Scripture. And all this Word of God that we talk about, and all of the Bible, even though some folks say it's hard to understand, but when we got to study it. When we look at it a little closer, we find that he's saying, you know what? These teachings of the scripture point out error in your life. They point out some correction in your life that you need to. You're going down this wrong road. It's for training for your life. It's going to equip you to become, to Peter and John, that fisherman, to Peter and Andrew, rather, that fisherman that I want you to become. A fisherman of men, not just of fish. And that worked out in their lives. And it's the confidence we can have in God that it's going to work out in our life. It's not enough just to hear God's word, but we need to receive God's word. And then we need to put it in practice in our lives as we live God's word. You see, it becomes a part of us. It becomes like breathing. I love the way it is taught in God's word in the book of James. I believe God shares first how he wants us to live And then he tells us how this is possible. Now, you know, when you think about what God is saying to these Christians in the book of James, I call that short-sleeve Christianity. It's where God is saying to you and I want you to roll up your sleeves and get busy. I want you to do something. Listen to the way it's recorded here now in James chapter 1. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, and should not get angry easily. Now, don't you know, that's just a good way to live, he's saying. That's going to help you out. It's going to help your blood pressure. It's going to help your attitude. It's not what we see as we live every day of our life. Sometimes people are so quick to speak, and they're so slow to listen. And he said, don't get angry easily. Man, I tell you, when I'm up in this 80 bracket where I just like to go the speed limit and I don't really like to be in that big of a hurry, you know, I'm finding out that a lot of people get upset with me because I'm going the speed limit. They get angry very easy. An angry person does not do what God approves of. So get rid of this immoral behavior and all the wicked things you do. He's saying, you know what? You got to see that your life is beginning to be cleaned up. You're getting a different attitude. You're looking at life through a different lens. You're seeing now that God wants you to enjoy life. You're seeing now that God wants you to make your life count in the life of somebody else to be a blessing to them. And you just can't live the way you want to live. And then you know what he says next? The word says, humbly accept the word that God has placed in you. You know what he wants us to do? Jesus said, I'm a gentle teacher. Jesus said, I'm a humble teacher. And I want you, when you come to the word of God, see, I want to humbly receive it. I want God's thinking for my life. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads into destruction. And man's ways are not God's ways, as God's ways is higher than man's ways, and God's thought is higher than God's thought. I want to think like God thinks, is what we have to humbly come to. Accept God's word. Receive it into your life. This word can save you, he said. It's not talking just about the salvation of your life. It can save you a lot of problems. Do what God's word says. Don't merely listen to it, or you'll be a fool. You fool yourself. You know what he's telling us? He says we got to put that word to practice in our life. We've already looked at that sometime in the past, just a little while ago, when we talked about the idea that the wise man builds his house on a firm foundation because he's the one that hears God's word and then he does God's word. That's what makes it a solid foundation. Now he's saying to you and I, if you want to become all that I want you to become, God is saying, you got to get rid of some stuff out of your life that's your old way of living. You got to let this word of God come into your life. And then you not only got to listen to it, but you got to practice it. And when you practice it, you got to come to the place in your life where you're living out what the scripture says. And you're not just a mere listener. Listen to what he says about a listener. If someone listens to God's word but doesn't do it, what it says, he's like a person who looks into a mirror. He looks into the mirror and he sees himself. He studies his future features. He looks at himself and maybe like the guy from the old days who said, you know, that, click his finger, that's good, that's good. Well, he looks in the mirror and he sees himself and he immediately walks away. He could see some flaws in his life. He could see that his hair needs combing. But when he looks in the mirror, he pays no attention to that. He turns and walks away and forgets what he looks like. He forgets he's got some ketchup on his face. He forgets he's got some egg on his shirt. He just turns and walks away. However, the person who continues to study God's perfect teachings that make people free and who remain committed to them, he will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen to God's word and forget it. They actually do what God's word is teaching. That's what he's reminding us in the book of James, chapter 1. That's what he wants us to get a hold of for our individual life. I love that the word of God is likened unto a mirror that can reflect how we're looking, spiritually speaking, so to be. But just if you look in the mirror and you can see, hey, I need to make an improvement on this as I look into the mirror of God's word. He's asking me to be kind. He's asking me to be gentle. He's asking me not to be angry easy. I start looking into God's word and then I start putting it to practice in my life as I receive it. And then I start living that way. I'm not the angry person I used to be. That kind of thing comes out of our life. The perfect law gives us liberty to then become under the authority of God's word. It sets me free from those things that would like to control my life instead of being controlled by the word of God. You say that sounds so easy, but it's not. And I know it's not. But as you practice the word of God over and over in your life, in your thinking, my thinking has changed so much. I had very little self-confidence as an individual. I had very little sense of direction for my life. When I chose Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him." Don't you lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you know, when that verse became a part of my life, and that verse not only became a part of my life became a part of that verse. And when we're starting to practice and to live the word of God, then it's revealing to us those things that are causing us difficulty. And that's what God wants to happen for your life and for my life. And there's another way that he does that, which I need to share with you in just a few moments. And that is the realization that God teaches us in his word that we're going to go through some really tough times and temptation. When you're trying to change your life the way God would have you to live, you're going to find it as difficult. You know what he says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spirits of wickedness in high places." He said, that's what you're wrestling against. You see, this idea is there's a part of you that don't really want to change. It just don't want to get involved. We just don't want to become what God wants us to become. But he's going to speak to those of us now that say, "But God, I want to become what you want me to be. What do I need to do?" And then God is going to tell us through his word of God what we can do. We need the whole armor of God, like the armor worn by a Roman soldier. And this is what he teaches us then. This is how we can put this word to practice in our life. "Wherefore, take your whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days." He said, this is how you're going to stand. Having done all, stand, he says. This is going to help you to be what you're supposed to be. Have your loins girded about with truth. That truth's going to come from the word of God. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness is going to protect your heart and your lungs and so on from the righteousness is going to come from God's word. And your feet, they're shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. You don't any longer want to become just a troublemaker. You want to be a peacemaker. Take the shield of faith above everything else. And with it, wherewith you'll be able to quench all those fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always, here we come again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance with all saints. keep on the praying business. Praying about your own life. Praying about you becoming what God wants you to become. Praying and you doing the things God wants you to do. There are five pieces of that armor given for our defense against the wickedness of our age. The belt of truth is preparation for battle. The soldier would put up roll up his robe and tuck it under the belt. And that belt would be around his waist. And it would strengthen him. The breastplate of righteousness for the purpose of protecting the soldier's vital organs, like the heart and the lung. The shoes of the gospel of peace, this was giving him a good, sound foundation for his life as he'd go into the daily things that was a part of the battle of his life. You know, he's reminding us that we need a solid foundation for our feet. I've been dwelling on that a lot because we need that so much. God says, you know, you need to know that your steps are ordered by him. And then he says this firm foundation is going to come for the battle that you're fighting about. It is going to be the peace that comes in your life because of your Lord Jesus. Then take the shield of faith. The Roman shield was made of wood, and then they covered with animal skin. And it's a spiritual thing of your life and my life. This idea of having a shield or to protect us. He said it's a shield of faith, knowing that God cares for you. It's not made out of the salvation. The shield, rather, is not made out of wood, but it's made out of faith. Faith in God and faith in what he promises in his word. Then he says, grab the helmet of salvation. The helmet's going to protect your head. Head injuries are very common in combat. And sometimes it's falling debris. The armor for the soldier was to move him forward. You know, in all the armor that is mentioned there in that portion of scripture, there's nothing for the back. Dear people, you got to think about that. There's nothing for saying to you and saying for me, you do this for a little while, and then you can turn tail and run. No, no, it's not for the back. The Roman soldier was meant to move forward. And the church that Jesus wants to create on planet Earth is meant to move forward. It's meant not to become a part of all the wickedness that is in the world, but to stand against that wickedness. You know, he told us about the sword. And as I wrap up my time today, I need to spend a little bit of time on the sword, is the word of God. The sword that the Roman soldier used was about 2-3 feet long. A blacksmith would heat iron and cover it with red hot iron, and then he'd coats of dust on it would strengthen it, and then the sword was cooled, and then that was a very, very strong sword, a piece of steel that they had. And it was for the defense. They had a handle on it, and it was for the defense of that soldier. The spiritual sword that God gives to you and I, he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrows. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God is saying to you, and God's saying to me, I got some word for you, and this word can do. You know, one of my favorite verses on all my Christian life has been, when God said, my word does not return to me void or empty. It accomplishes the purpose it was sent out to do. And I need that for my life. You need that for my life. That's why God spoke through Paul to the young man Timothy. He said, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The better I know the word, the better equipped I will be to use my sword in battle, is what God is teaching us. And we know that is to be true. but we're to realize that this is what he wants to accomplish in our life. But you know what, folks, and sometime in the church what happens is the Bible becomes not just a sword, but it becomes like a thumping stick. And that's dangerous when it becomes just a thumping stick, that you're going to hit somebody over the head with the Word of God, so to speak. And you know, I love the way it has been taught through Peter. And Peter was a very quick-to-speak person. But you know what? Peter, one day when he said to the disciple, when he said about teaching in his book in Peter, he said, I want you to realize that when you do this word, I want you to share, but in your hearts, revere Christ. Hold Christ high in your heart, he's saying. And then he goes on to tell us, when you give out this word, do it with gentleness and do it with respect for the individual. This God's word wants to accomplish the purpose that God has for it. But you know, it's got to also be in context with what God's word says he wants it to do in your life, in my life. We've got a closing song that says, the Lord and I, we're going to walk this way of journey of life to glory, all the way to glory. When we walk this road together, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to do it in this gentleness, this kindness that I've been telling you that I've done with you. And we can walk and we can talk together. Let's listen in. Thank you for tuning me in. And God bless you.
We're going to walk this road to glory, children, my Lord and I. We're going to walk and tell the story, children, my Lord and I. When I come to the river wide, the blessed Lord is going to calm the tide. We're going to walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I.
Yes, we're going to
walk this road to glory, children, my Lord and I. We're going to walk and tell the story, children, my Lord and I. When I come to the river wide, the blessed Lord is going to calm the tide. We're going to walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I.
Yes, we're going
to walk this road to glory, children, my Lord and I. We're going to walk and tell the story, children, my Lord and I.
Rain and shine, snow and sleet,
blessed Lord,
guide my feet.
We're going to walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I.
Such is my consolation, burdens out of the way. The Holy Spirit guides me as I travel day by day. I put it to the station and I get a full supply.
Well, we're going
to walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I. We're going to walk and talk all the way to glory. Gonna walk and tell the blessed old story. Walk and talk all the way to glory, my Lord and I. When I come to the river wide, the blessed Lord is going to calm the tide. We're going to walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I.
My Lord. Blessed old story, walk and talk all the way to glory, my Lord and I. When I come to the river wide, the blessed Lord is gonna calm the tide. We're gonna walk this road to glory,
children,
my Lord and I.